So that brings me to our sermon on fear. I took a vote a couple weeks ago about, you know, who struggles with anxiety? And like more than half of the hands went up in the whole room, right? We can do that again. Who struggles with anxiety? If you don't, well, you're going to learn a little bit about it today and you might change your mind. But I'm excited for this next little series. We're going to talk about fear, shame, and how we can trust God in the midst of all of that. I got to say it like this. You know, I stand around and I have fear all the time. I've had fear all week. I'm worried about what God wants to do in our church in the next season. And I'm just breaking. My heart's breaking and I'm fearful. Like, what is going on? I don't understand it. And I start worrying and I start thinking about all these bad thoughts and I start ruminating over things I shouldn't even be thinking about. And then I get a phone call. And I'm working on my little struggles, and I get a phone call of a young girl who tries to take her life, 13 years old.
Wow.
And so I go to the hospital there in Vegas a couple days ago, and I meet this young girl and her little sister that's 9 years old. And I'm sitting here and I'm wondering about myself, like, how can I have fear and how can I be worried when this young girl who thought there was no hope, who couldn't do anything, decides in a moment to end her life, and I'm complaining about the little things in my life because I'm scared. We've all felt it. And I think part of our issue with this anxiety is the culture that we live in. There is a fear epidemic. I mean, think about it. This morning, before you woke up, how many were on your phones before you even put your feet on the ground? Come on now. Me too. I mean, before I even get out of bed, I'm reaching for it. And I'm looking at it. And what do I see? I see notifications, news alerts, messages, social media updates, showing everyone else's highlight reels while I'm still in my pajamas. I'm already flooding my mind with things of this world, of the culture of fear. Welcome to 2025. We have more ways to be afraid than any other generation in history. Just look at your phone. We're afraid. Who's got LinkedIn? Okay, yeah. I need to get that thing off my phone. I ain't going nowhere. Ain't going nowhere, church. But man, I look at it and I'm thinking like, man, I'm not even qualified for that job. And it keeps notifying. It keeps saying things. It reminds me daily. And you know what else? There's other applications like Instagram that says, I'm not attractive enough. I'm getting a little big in the belly. This guy's telling me how to get a six-pack. He says, I could do it in 3 weeks. Nah, ain't going to happen. I mean, come on, think about it. Think about it. We're afraid that we're missing out. What's the phrase, young ones in here? Is it FOMO? FOMO? You know what? It's a clinical term now. Fear of missing out. Because you look at your social media and you see all these things that these people are doing, and there's a fear of missing out. That's what it means. It's a clinical term. We're so afraid, we walk around on eggshells because we want people to like us, but we keep our feelings to ourselves. So we walk around on eggshells like, let's not offend nobody. I got to keep my feelings. When actually it's only killing yourself. It's tearing you up. We're afraid we're not successful enough. We got people who are afraid of climate change. You know what I know? Here, this is, I mean, it's going to be a long sermon today. It's going to be fun, though. Hear me. You know there's a promise in the Bible? The end is going to come. It's a promise. It's going to happen. And as soon as we can accept that, we can stop living in fear, knowing that God is going to come take us from this broken world into another, a better, perfect world. But fear keeps us in a place where we can't move forward. We fear economic... Man, I can't tell you how I'm preaching today. I go to Costco and I can't walk out without spending $300 on half a cart. Man, I'm going to get a lot of hate mail on Facebook for me plugging in people's names, companies' names. Oh, well, you know what? Push you back in the name of Jesus. You need to lower those prices. I mean, think about it. I love our country. I do. And I seen a video yesterday on Facebook of President Trump and Putin walking. You know what he does? Fear. What is it, three jets and a bomber fly right over the top of Putin in Alaska. And Bush or Clinton's going, Trump, I'm sorry, I don't even. They're all. And he's shaking his hand going, you better fear. You know what I mean? Okay, I better stay on my notes here. I mean, think about this. Some of us are fearful because even artificial intelligence is about to take your jobs. You have fear of that. Some of us are in fear because we're wondering if we're able to afford a house or even retire when it's time. But here's the thing that our modern culture... Our modern fear, let me say it again. I got all fired up, now I got to bring it back down. Here's the thing about our modern fear culture. It's not just what makes us anxious, it's making us addicted to it. Our fear, we're addicted to our fear. Or we would stop looking at these posts and stop looking at the news. It only gives you bad news. It tells you the world is falling apart. Guess what? It is falling apart. Jesus is coming soon. We're addicted to checking the news, addicted to scrolling through social media. I got carpal tunnel now. I did, man. I was getting all like cramped up in my thumb. I was like, I got to put the phone down. Some of us are addicted to the adrenaline rush of worst case scenarios. We have become junkies of fear. And guess what? The dealers are everywhere. They are everywhere. News outlets, social media, algorithms, even our own inner voice that whispers, what if everything falls apart? Church, we're drowning in information but starving for peace. And in the middle of the chaos, God speaks the same word to us today that Paul spoke to Timothy. He says, I have not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and love and self-control. Fear does not come from God. He did not give you a spirit of fear. And when we're listening, we listen to every other voice but the one that matters. No wonder why we're anxious all the time. Because we're listening to the wrong voices. Wow, that was a long introduction. You ready to get in some scripture? Yeah. Psalms 34, 4 and 7. If you've got your Bibles, we're a Bible-believing church. If you need one, there's probably one underneath your seat. If not, they'll be on the screen right behind me. David wrote, King David, I sought the Lord and he answered me. He delivered me from all of my fears. Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. This poor man called, and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. Father in heaven, we've come into your place of worship today, knowing that you want to speak directly to our hearts. Father, we cast out fear and anxiety in the name of Jesus. Give us some tools today to stand strong and in peace and in faith, knowing that you have all of this figured out. Father, I pray today that you speak to just, even if it's just one person that you speak to, it's all worth it. Change the lives of all of us today, myself included. Bring us closer into your relationship by your word. In Jesus' name, amen. It says, I sought the Lord. You know what I love about David? He doesn't sugarcoat stuff. If you read through his Psalms and you hear the way he writes, this man is so transparent. We need a lot more Davids in our life. People who will share when they're struggling. People who will share when they feel fear in their life and they're not ashamed of it. He doesn't sugarcoat anything. He goes and he shows us completely different ways to handle fear than what our culture is teaching us. Let me tell you how fear works in our world. It's a toxic cycle. It's the same thing over and over again. And we get so trapped in it, we don't even realize we're trapped in it because it becomes such a part of who we are. We consume, we compare, we control, and then we crash, and then we burn out, and then guess what? We repeat the cycle all over again. Take a situation in your life and you've probably fell into all of these categories, and then once you're done with it, you repeat the same cycle in the new situation. And you do it even with more intensity than you did the last time. But David Saul shows us something revolutionary. Look at what the first phrase he says, I sought the Lord. He didn't say, I sought control. Now, I sought information. Now, I sought validation on social media. David sought God. The Hebrew word for sought is darash. Darash. It means to investigate. It means with intensity, investigate with intensity, like everything. I mean, pursue it relentlessly, like a detective working a case, looking at every piece of information. When fear gripped David, he didn't Google his symptoms. Come on. Come on. Was that one, the media now? I better stop doing this, calling people out on. I got a headache in my side of my head here. Oh, you're dying. You're dying. Oh, my leg hurts. Yep, you're dying. Right? Go to the doctor, you're dying. They're going to give you a whole bunch of crazy drugs, right? Crazy. You know what else he didn't do? He didn't go tell 10 friends and ask for their advice. He didn't make a pros and cons list. David's first instinct was to seek the one who holds all outcomes in his hands. That was his first response, was to go directly to God. Here's what I can tell you about seeking God in 2025. You're going to love the first one. Put the phone down. It breaks my heart when I go out to eat with my wife and I can see an entire family sitting around a table, not talking to each other, all on their phones. What has our society come to? And we wonder why we have broken homes. It's because nobody's giving life and encouraging and speaking. And I'm in fear because I'm comparing my entire life to everybody around me and what's on my phone, yet asking my parents or my brothers or sisters, like, hey, how's your day been? Praying for you. How can I help you? Nope, I'm glued to the phone. You know what's even funny? I've even seen this. They'll be sitting at the table and they're texting each other. Seriously. They'll sit at the table, brothers and sisters, and be sending texts to each other at the same table. Put the phone down. Before you check the news, check with God. Pray before you panic. When that anxious thought hits, immediately turn it into prayer. Worship instead of worry. Fill your mind with what God can do and what he's already done instead of what might go wrong. Here's the key. You get more out of what you give your attention to. If you give your attention to fear, you're going to get more fear. If you give your attention to God, you're going to get more peace. It's just, it's proven. It's the way it works. And then he carries on and he goes, and God, and he says, and he answered me. He delivered me from all of my fears. God's radical response to your true identity. And he answered me and he delivered me from all of my fears. I love it when it says all. Every time it says all, it just brings joy to my heart. Because if it said some of them, I'd be like, well, that doesn't fit me. He says all of my fears. Now watch what happens when David sought. David sought like an investigator about everything in the character of God. He sought, he prayed, he did everything he could. And what did God do? He answered him. It says it, and he answered me. God responded completely, fully, immediately to David's desperate seeking of him. I love this. Look at what God did. He didn't just help David manage his anxiety a little bit better. He didn't give him a coping strategy to adjust, to learn, and to help him with his anxiety. No, the text says it delivered him from all of his fears. He gave him deliverance from this. I need you to hear something that might change your life if you allow it. You are not your anxiety. That is not who you are. You've heard me say it before. Listen carefully. Your worth isn't determined by your worry level. In our culture, we've started to identify with our mental health struggles. I'm an anxious person. I have depression. I'm a worrier. We are identifying with something that God never intended us to identify with. I've said it before. You are a child of God who happens to struggle with anxiety. Your identity is in Christ first. As I said it before, my name is Jeremy and I'm a believer in Jesus Christ who struggles with drugs and alcohol. I'm not an addict. I'm a child of God. Your identity is not your struggle. Your identity is who God says that you are. You are chosen. You are beloved. You're more than a conqueror, he says. You're his masterpiece, equipped with power, love, and a sound mind. I did not give you a spirit of fear, but I gave you a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. That is who you are. That is who you answer to. When somebody says, oh, not me, I'm a child of God. Oh, you spend too much money. No, I'm a child of God. I struggle with pornography. Nope, I'm a child of God. Stop answering to those names. Say it with me. I am not my anxiety. I can't hear you. I'm God's masterpiece. And he has plans for my life. Now believe it. Now believe it. The same God who delivered David is sitting on his throne right now, and he has not changed one bit. He's not changed his mind about you. Your anxiety about your children, he can deliver you. Your fear about your finances, he's got you. Your fear about your medical reports, he specializes in miracles. Supernatural transformation. Let's look on, go on to verse 5. Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. Shame, that's next week. This is where we see the supernatural transformation that happens when we stop staring at our problems and start staring at God. This is what can happen. You know, I can't tell you to not be scared. I can't be a pastor and honestly say, you know, don't be scared, because, you know, I'm scared all the time. I can't tell you something, but I can tell you one thing, that in my fear, if I allow God to have it, he'll transform me, and I can take my eyes off of that and put it on him, and he'll do a transformative work. And when I have an encounter with him in my situation, I radiate his presence. This is where we see supernatural transformation that happens when we stop staring at our problems and start staring at God. This means to gaze. It means to gaze intently, to fix your eyes on something. And when we do that, like I said, we become radiant. The word suggests that our faces glow. It's shining, lit up from the inside. It's the same word used when Moses is coming down from Mount Sinai. Church, fear and anxiety does the opposite. Anxiety makes us withdraw. It makes us hide. It makes us put our heads down in shame. I remember before I met Jesus, I was like this. Not ever able to look somebody in the eye because so much shame and fear. Yeah. Anxiety, fear makes me want to withdraw, put my head down in shame, but God's presence makes us lift our heads, straighten our shoulders. The moment you allow God into your situation, you can stand strong, because you know why? Because you're not strong, he's strong. You know that your problems are in his hands. And you don't have to carry the weight and the baggage of anxiety and fear and shame the moment you know who carries the issues or the problems for you. I want you to know if someone has been seeking God desperately, look at their faces. Not because they're pretending everything is fine, but because they've been in the presence of God. They're not walking around with their head down any longer. They're radiating. Man, my life is falling apart. But God's got it. God's got this. I was talking in my office a little bit ago with the team. We were talking about fear. And I planted a seed there. It was a pre-sermon before the sermon. Fear is information, it's not truth. Let that sink in for a minute. Fear is information, but it's not truth. How do I know this? We all have smoke detectors in our house. The only time my smoke detector goes off is when I'm cooking. But does that mean that the house is burning down? Sometimes our fear is our alarm, and it's a good thing. It's not a bad thing. It's to help us be aware of our surroundings. But it's not to jump off the cliff and go too far and say, my toast is burning, but my house is burning down. Ah! No. It's information. We think fear means something bad is going to happen. We automatically go to the worst case scenario. Like I said, it's not the smoke detector. That's not the problem that it went off, is my cooking. The problem is when we treat every alarm in the house like it's going to burn down. Your fear might be giving you information worth noting. Your fear is the information coming in that you need to understand. And you need to kind of look at it. You need to be aware of it. Fear is not a bad thing. It's giving you information that you need to notice. But it's not writing your final chapter of your life. Your fear is not the final chapter of your life in your worst case scenario, and how you ruminate and keep thinking and worrying about the worst case scenario. It is not. Only God gets to write the final chapter of your life. Let us move on. The poor man called, and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of his troubles. Here's where David gets real vulnerable. David, I mean, think about it. The king, the military powerhouse, the man who had all super smart, wrote all the Psalms, could play music. I mean, this dude, he was like a man's man. This dude could do anything. And what does he say? He calls himself a poor man. We think poor has something to do with money. That's, no. Poor is a lack of God, a lack of identity. It's a lack of self-worth. That's what poor, it's spiritually bankrupt is what that means. You're spiritually poor. Like you have a void in your heart and you can't find anything to fill it. I've done it with drugs and alcohol my whole life. Could never fill that void. I was spiritually and emotionally bankrupt. That's who Paul. That's who David says he is right now. He says, "I'm a poor man." Maybe that's you today. Maybe you feel poor in hope. Maybe you feel poor in strength. Poor in your faith, even. You look around thinking everyone else has it all together, but your life is falling apart. David says, that's exactly where I was. I was a poor man. But watch. He says, the Lord heard him because he sought him. He saved him out of all his troubles. Do you understand what this means? The God who spoke the galaxies into existence bends down to hear the whispers of the desperate hearts who are seeking him and pursuing him and asking him for help. He hears your cries. He hears your whispers. He knows your fears. He knows your anxious thoughts. You ready for a light bulb moment? Like, seriously. Your troubles are not too small for him. Boom. Drop the mic. Done. Your problem is not too small for our God. It's not too complicated. It's not too complex. Your struggles are only embarrassing to you. Here's what I need you to understand about yourself. Here's what I need you to know about who you are as a child of God. You're more resilient than you think you are. I mean, have you ever considered yourselves as fragile? Do you sometimes feel like you can't handle hard things? Yeah, I do. But man, I got to go back. I got to step back in time for a minute. I got to look at all the stuff that I have been through in my life in order to be where I am today. That is resilience. What's the hardest thing you've ever been through? You survived it. You're here today. You made it. Every storm you've weathered has made you stronger. Every valley you've walked through has taught you that God walks with you in your storms. We need to sometimes go back and see where God was faithful when we're in the midst of the storm here right now. God is, I love this. God has never given you more than He'll help you handle. We interpret some scripture the wrong way in 1 Corinthians. It says God won't put on you anything that you can't handle. That is a wrong interpretation of that verse. What it actually is saying, God will never give you more than He'll help you handle. He's with you. He wants to walk with you. He wants to carry this burden. You know what? If you walk next to Him, He'll carry the entire load. The whole thing. He does this not because life is easy. I'd be lying to you if I said that, and you'd call me a liar if I did tell you that. But because He's faithful. I say it all the time. He's so faithful. Stop underestimating yourself. Stop underestimating God. You are more resilient than your fears want you to believe. There's a divine protection in breaking free. When we look at our final verse 7, because it shows us just how serious God is about protecting His people. That's what this means. It says, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear Him. There's that word, fear. The meaning to pitch tents. That's what this means. He encamps. It's like a military position around those who fear the Lord. While you're tossing around at night in fear, God's army is setting up a camp around your house. It isn't a metaphor here. It is reality. The same God who sent angels to shut the mouth of the lions in Daniel, the same angels that broke Peter out of prison, the same angels that announced Jesus' birth, that God has stationed His armies around His children. That's you. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear the Lord. It's not just an angel. It's an entire angelic host encamped around those who fear the Lord. The word here, fear, the opposite of the fear I've been talking about, it's known as reverence, awe, respect, seeking Him above everything else. That's the kind of fear that is healthy. So how do we break free from a culture and live in fear of the Lord? Well, we need to adjust our inputs. I've said it. There's kind of a common theme here about phones. What you consume consumes you. Limit news to once a day. I gave up news. I gave up watching news on TV a number of months ago because back home, we didn't have a big city like Las Vegas. I turned the news on in Las Vegas. I forgot it's Sin City. All day long. It never stops. What I'm consuming will consume me. Unfollow accounts that increase anxiety. Start your day with scripture in the word and not on your phone. Create fear interrupters. When anxiety hits, you might want to write this down for my note takers. Stop. Don't spiral out of control. Take a deep breath and then pray. God, I give this to you. Then redirect to something positive. Stop. Don't spiral out of control. I've seen it. I've watched it. Somebody gets bad news and it is just, you know, instantly chaos. Just take a step back. Listen. Process. Take a deep breath. Pray, God, I give this to you. Then redirect to something positive. So that you can process what's going on. We talked 4 weeks about this. Build community. Stop handling everything alone. Find people who will speak life, not fear, into your life. Get help when you need it. Go to counseling when you need it. This isn't fear, this is wisdom. Practice gratitude. An attitude of gratitude. You want to defeat worry and fear? Have an attitude of gratitude. Write down 3 things that you're grateful for daily. When you appreciate what God has given you, it will help remove some of that anxiety. Take action on what you can control. You know what? There's not a lot you can control. I'm telling you right now, here's the number one thing. You can control how you respond to things in your life. That's it. That's about the only control. You can control the words that come out of your mouth. Outside of that, I don't think there's much you can control. You can control you and the words that come out of your mouth. No, some of us can't even control ourselves. That's why I need to practice stop. Don't spiral out of control. Take a deep breath and pray. Because I can't control myself. Act on what you can control and release. What you can't control, release those things. The promise that changes everything. Church, right now, in this moment, you're surrounded by God's protection. Remember, He encamps us with His angels. Right now, in this moment, He is encamping our church. And it's not because nothing bad is ever going to happen to us, because it is. But because because we're never alone in whatever happens. Nothing bad will happen. I just want to rephrase it. I'm trying to think of a better way of saying this than the way I put it down on here. We know bad things are going to happen. And you get to choose if you're going to walk it alone or not. It's going to happen. And I need you to hear this. God is not surprised by our fear. He is not surprised by it. He's not disappointed because you have anxiety. He's not shaking his head going, why can't they just trust me? No, he's looking at you with the same love that he had when he sent his son Jesus to die for you on that cross That is how he looks at you. He's never disappointed in you. He's never allowing you to have shame. Fear is a liar. Is lying to you. God looks at you the same way he did when he sent Jesus to die on the cross for all of us broken people. Your anxiety doesn't disqualify you from his love. It qualifies you for his grace. Yeah, I say it again. If you didn't struggle, why would you even need a God in your life? Stop trying to manage your fear and start surrendering it. God, you got this. God, I give it to you. Right now, not tomorrow, not after you get your life together, but right now, in this moment, imagine taking this whole big bag of heavy fear and shame and placing it to the feet of Jesus and leaving it there. He's strong enough to pick up all of our bags. Some of you have been white-knuckling your way through life, trying to control everything. Church, that is not faith. That's exhausting. God never asked you to carry what he was supposed to carry. Your story isn't over. God's still writing it. He wants to write a better story than your fear could ever possibly write. But I need to pause because some of you are thinking, well, this sounds amazing. Where do I get this strength from? Where do I get this from? Jesus. Jesus is the only way you can get the power to overcome mental health, anxiety, depression. Your strength is in him. You might be in here and say, well, yeah, that sounds good, but I don't know Jesus. I've heard of him, but I don't know him. Maybe you've been carrying fear your whole life because you've never experienced the peace that can only come through a relationship with Jesus. He is the Prince of Peace. If that's you today, today can be the day that changes everything for you. Jesus didn't come to help you manage your problems. He came to save you from the biggest problem, and that is eternal separation from God. He came... He came and died with a crown on his head of thorns for you, for your shame. He got pierced in the side for your fear and your brokenness. He was nailed to a cross because we can never be perfect. Your fear, your anxiety, your brokenness. Jesus took all of that to the cross so that you could have the peace that only comes from him. Cast your burdens on him. Let's pray. Everybody with your head bowed and your eyes shut. Father, we're tired of being afraid of everything around us. We're tired of constant anxiety, sleepless nights, and the what ifs. Father, if there's people in this room who are living in the what ifs, we cast that aside and we step into your faith, into your goodness. Sometimes the what ifs never stop, Father, but today we choose to trust you more than our fears. We seek you first. We give you our worries, our desperate need to control everything. We're not asking you to make our lives easy. We're asking you to make us stronger. not to remove all of our problems, but to be present in all of our problems. Thank you for hearing us and for loving us, for never leaving us. And for those in this room, every head bowed, every eye shut, if you've never given your life to Jesus and you need peace in your life, it comes through Jesus. And if you've never given your life to Him right now, raise your hand so I can see it and nobody's looking around. Do not let fear stop you from encountering the living Christ. Every week, somebody is raising their hands. And if fear's got you, it's okay. You don't need to raise your hand. Come talk to me afterwards. But let's pray for this. Jesus, I admit that I've been praying, that I've been trying to run my own life. And I'm tired of being afraid and alone. I believe that you died on the for my sins, and you rose again. Right now, I turn from my sin and I surrender my life to you. Be my Lord and be my Savior. Come into my heart, forgive my sins, and give me the peace that only you can give. I'm yours now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you guys stand to your feet for me? I want you to declare something today. I want you to declare that fear is a liar. It has no place in your life. And that God has a purpose and a plan for you. I want you to listen to these words. I want you to sing them if you know them. Declare them over your life. One more time. Fear is a liar, and it is not welcome in your hearts and in your life. We will cast it out in the name of Jesus. Fear has no stronghold here.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.